That's a good song, that, and I really hope you enjoyed that. Too Late for Goodbyes from Julian Lennon. You don't hear much of him these
days. He's gone quiet.
Yeah.
Gone quiet. But, you know, he had some good songs.
Yeah.
Saltwater Wells in My Eyes was another one.
Mm.
So, good sounding
music. Yeah. All happening on Coast FM here at the time of 9 minutes past 11.
Glenelg Funerals is a South Australian family-operated funeral home supporting families for over 20 years. We're able to offer affordable, flexible and personalised funeral services with compassion and care. At a time when losing a loved one can be both traumatic and confusing, let Glenelg Funerals' friendly staff support you in your time of need. Quality, value and with dignity at a time when you need it the most. Glenelg Funerals. 7221 9980. An understanding station sponsor.
Have you heard something on Coast FM that you particularly liked, or maybe you didn't like? Or perhaps you have an opinion about something you heard on air? Either way, you should let us know so we can improve your listening experience. All you need to do is to send an email to haveyoursay@coastfm.com.au and tell us what you thought about a particular program. All the feedback helps us to improve our service to you, the listener. Let us know what you think. Have your say at coastfm.com.au. Adelaide's 88.7, Coast FM.
You're listening to Adelaide's best variety, 88.7, Coast FM.
You certainly are, and it's 10 minutes past 11, and I always look forward to this segment each month. It's from a wonderful foundation called the Hospital Research Foundation, and why I really admire what they do is just the magnificent ways they go about of supporting people with grants and just helping this heavy, hard fight, Bruce, about cancer. And they'd be highly congratulated.
I've experienced it through my wife as well. And it's a really worthwhile cause. Mm. And they do lots of great work. And there's lots of research going on at the moment, and hopefully at some stage we're going to knock off this nasty thing called the Big C.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. One of the ladies who I really enjoy having on my show, and she's becoming more and more sitting behind the mic now, is Antonia Costa, of course. And congratulations. Tell us what happened recently as far as your position.
Oh, yes. I got promoted, so I'm now a coordinator, so I've got more responsibility.
So how did that vary from what you were doing?
So now I get to take the lead on a few more things and, just step up and, yeah.
Excited?
I am, yep, very.
Ideal person for it. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Proud of you. I think it's a wonderful effort to have done. I wanted to get that in.
Yeah.
Without any warning.
You didn't tell me that day.
No, date.
Put you on the spot for that one. That's for sure.
Every now and then. I do that, sometimes, don't I?
I'm used to it.
Interesting things coming up. And I was quite surprised. I didn't think it'd come up so quickly. It's the next lottery.
Yes.
Home Research Foundation Lottery. Tell us about it.
Well, we just brought this one forward because of the demand and so many people missed out. So we thought, why not bring it forward and give more people a chance to grab a ticket?
Mm.
A lovely house at Glenelg North.
Glenelg North this time.
Yes.
I had it all planned, Bruce and Antonia, that I was going to move down at
Glenelg North, by the sound of it. You're going to move too.
It was going to be this time. And
I think everyone planned.
Yeah, I had all planned. And
yeah.
Oh, well, next time.
Still, you've got to be in it doing it, as they say.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss out, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it's a great lottery, isn't it? A lot of work must go into to get. And the fabulous sponsors. I mean, we know here at Coast, without sponsors, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. It must
that's
be
right.
even bigger for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
bigger
well,
and grander, and yeah, we thank all our sponsors, and because this isn't easy. You know, there's over 22,000 prizes, so
yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So what else you got coming up? We've got a
We've got our annual cancer fundraiser, The Longest Table. So registrations are now open, so people can register and just have a simple dinner with friends and raise funds all towards cancer research. So our official night is the 27th of July.
Okay.
But you don't have to host on
that
night.
We'll certainly promote it a lot more as it leads up to it, won't we? That's
That'd
for
be
sure.
Great, yep.
So you've got heaps of things happening, and that's why I love having this wonderful foundation on. They really do tremendous work. Thank you. And congratulations on your position again.
Thank you.
Very proud of you. It's great.
Now,
our special guest today is a lovely lady by the name of Bea Pantarant. Did I get that right?
Yes.
I'm proud of myself. Now, Bea's a PhD student doing breast cancer research at the Basil Hetzel Institute for Translational Health Research. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Good. Welcome, Bea. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, and thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's talk a bit about you. So where were you born and tell us all about your background.
Yeah, I was born and grown up in Thailand.
Yeah.
But then I moved here about 10 years ago because the weather's nicer.
Oh, well, thank you for that. Well, we'll take credit for that. Yeah,
yeah, we'll take that. So you did all your schooling basically in
Thailand. But then I'm here doing my postgraduate studies in Australia.
So right from a young age, did you want to get into research, Bea?
Yes, because I'm always have a curious mind. I always want to find something new, and I love the feeling of discovering something new, the excitement.
Wonderful. Was that born into you through your family, or were your mum and dad or people associated in this sort of work before which gave you the push to go, or was
I'm the only one in the family.
Okay.
did somebody inspire you, you know, when you were a child to look towards this?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because my uncle, he's a medical doctor.
Oh, okay.
So were you interested in becoming a doctor as such, just doing what doctors do, or you wanted to lean towards being a doctor in more research work?
Yeah, I just love doing biology when I was at school. Yep, and then I just take it from there, and now I'm here doing PhD. Yeah.
So have your family here or relatives?
No, it's just by myself.
Wow, that's a big step.
It is. It is hard, but you'll get used to it.
Yeah, I mean, you said you moved here, what, 10 years ago?
Yes.
That would have made you about 15. Had I been nice? Am I being nice, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, you are very nice.
But seriously, you would have been extremely young. Why Adelaide?
Oh, I actually moved, the first time I moved to Sydney first because I got my family there. Mm. My friend there. And then after a short time, I moved here. It's just a nicer city and it's easy to get around. Lovely city, lovely people for sure.
So you've settled in well and enjoy being a part of us wonderful people in Adelaide.
Yes.
Terrific. Basil Hetzel Institute do fantastic work. How have you found being associated there and how long you been there?
Just about 2 years, just over 2 years. Mm. Yeah. And I couldn't be, I was very happy and I'm very happy still. I couldn't have asked for a better team, better supervisor to support me. Mm. They're really the best.
So with your studies, what's your ultimate goal when you're finished? What do you want to be able to do?
So about my study, can I just go back to the...
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Today, I'm coming to talk about my project, and my project is about developing a new method to immunotherapeutic method to fight cancer. And if you have listened to the news lately, I'm sure you heard about immunotherapy. Mm. So immunotherapy is using your own immune system to fight cancer. And there are a couple of different ways to do it. One is to use the drug to stimulate your immune system so you rev it up, so it can recognize cancer and kill it. So although this method's been not going to work with all type of cancer, it's been working well with those that are difficult to treat, like melanoma and lung cancer. Mm. With some patients, they were told by the doctor that they only have a few months to live, but after using this drug 3-4 years on, they're still here and they keep going strong.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it must give you a real sense to be associated with that study, to see people being able to just stay with us longer and fight that horrible cancer thing. It do you ever believe, without putting on the spot too much, we'll ever get a full cure for cancer?
Yes.
It's a difficult one, isn't it?
It is a difficult one, yeah.
Because it's not choosy. Cancer, is it how it starts? I mean, some people don't help themselves. I mean by that that, and I'll be very honest, people smoke heavily and they're really leaving themselves open, aren't they, to sort of a lung cancer sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. I think, you know, one has to take responsibility for one's own health, and we don't have to go overboard, but things that we've got information about over the years, and there's lots of research from those years that indicate that smoking, as you mentioned, Dave, is detrimental, and we basically shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So with your work you're doing down at Basel, do you are you getting volunteers to help you, or is it all in the area of the what do you call it? I've gone blank on the name.
Immunotherapy. But the approach that I just told you about, my approach is slightly different. So I'm not using drugs. I am focusing on adoptive cellular therapy.
What's that?
So the name, as the name suggests, it is the therapy where you take the patient on immune cells, and you expand these immune cells in the lab. When you have millions and millions of them, you put this cell back into the patient to treat their cancer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And although a lot of work done in this space is still considering experimental, but we think that we are sitting at a threshold of what is going to be the golden age of this therapy.
Well, it sounds like it's something to be quite excited about, isn't it?
It is.
I've got to ask the standard question. We often hear that something is very close to being able to be used, but then we always hear the follow-up, it could be 5 or 6, 7 years before it happens. I guess when you've been through the personal aspect of it, that's the most frustrating part to me. But I guess there's no answer to that, is there?
Yep, definitely. I mean, it is hard, and I'm sorry for what you have to go through, but I think it is a long process of developing something that can be used clinically, but every day we're getting one step closer.
Yeah.
But I think another thing is that for a researcher point of view, you've got to remain optimistic.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It might take long, and I mean, unfortunately, sometimes too long for some.
It's a reality. I just admire people like yourself that are prepared to give your life to this sort of work, Bruce. I think it's fantastic.
Well, I think any sort of dedication to finding a cure for cancer, whatever that is, and in what form it's taken, is admirable, because we seem to have got away with, my childhood diseases, you know, things that we've immunised against, and, you know, people are having far better quality of life. But cancer is one thing that seems to strike from nowhere to anybody for any sort of reason, and that's frustrating. And it must be frustrating for researchers not to say, well, we know what the cause is, let's go straight to it.
So I think in one respect, well done on the work you're doing. Now, the Hospital Research Foundation have supported you with grants, I guess, of the work you're doing. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. I think it was last year that we received a much-needed funding from the Hospital Research Foundation to continue my work. And without their help, you know, I probably wouldn't have any result, wouldn't have any output for my second year. And so that will eventually might affect the finishing of my PhD.
But it's great to be able to. I mean, they are a wonderful organisation, and I know they're very handing out grants is just not willy-nilly. People have got to be able to be really shown to be showing something very special. So congratulations. I'm very pleased for you that you got that grant. I think it's wonderful.
Yep. Thank you, and thanks to my hardworking supervisor, who's been doing most of the work.
You need to take some credit for it.
You've got to take some credit too. So how long have you got to go before you finish your PhD?
Just until the end of the year.
Wow. Good. So how many years have you been involved with that? Four?
Two.
Two. Okay. So what happens when you finish?
I hope to remain in cancer, but as Dave mentioned, the funding is really hard to secure, but I'll try my best.
Yeah.
And also what I haven't mentioned, that I also work as a part-time Thai interpreter, because I can speak Thai and I enjoy doing this work, and I hope to continue.
And Antonia's heard me say this a lot of times, that getting a PhD is wonderful, and it's a great achievement. I always get concerned of what takes place afterwards, because it's not automatically into a job, is it?
Yeah. It's not always smooth sailing.
No.
And sometimes I can see people, they have to downgrade themselves, or they apply for a job that they overqualify.
Mm.
But they have to find a way to make ends meet.
That's horrible when some people are applying for a job and they're overqualified, isn't it?
Well, my son's experienced that and ended up doing a lot of hospitality just to, you know, fill a gap and earn some money to pay the rent and eat. But he's finally got a full-time job, so that's really fantastic. But it took a number of years. So, you know, great admiration for those who have to have struggled to get to that point.
Yeah. I think one of the things that interests me, and I do bring it up quite often, we have a mature listening audience most of the time, but the words multi-skilling are very essential, aren't they? I mean, the more skills you can have surrounding what you're doing. For example, you're doing work, with the language aspect. That is a real advantage too. So you're not just relying on one area. Were you told much about that and how you should become more multi-skilled and things during your study time?
Oh, not when we're growing up, though, and that is very sad and very unfortunate. But they're not prepare you to be ready for the real world.
Mm-hmm. So even in the position now, say to where 2 or 3 years ago, how much as a person have you changed in relation to the real world now?
Yeah, I think the last 2 to 3 years, I've learned a lot of soft skills that are a more analytical skill that I can definitely transfer to other job aspect. And I think working in this tough environment, I learned from my supervisor how to be optimistic, how to be resilient, how to persevere, and you just have to do it until you get it.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, just saying those words is outstanding, isn't it, Bruce?
I think so,
because
yeah.
So much pressure is put on younger people, or people of all ages who really want to develop their studies, and get their legs cut from underneath them because it's just not automatically finding work.
No.
So, well done. Oh, so, what have we got to look forward to before you graduate down at Basel? What else do you want to achieve down there?
I think for my work, I hope to provide enough evidence, proof of concept evidence, to support the development of this technology and to have it move faster in clinical settings.
Mm. How difficult, and I've always been interested in this, and I've only found out talking to people like yourself, is for a researcher to be able to get on and get grants, and it sounds awful to me, but it sounds like it's a real world. You research, you do brilliant work, but you've got to get it publicised.
Yes.
And there seems to be that massive emphasis on that, and you can do this brilliant research, but if it doesn't get publicised in medical journals around the world or whatever, you're really hitting a wall.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that?
It is not good enough. Yeah.
That's pretty hard going, Bruce, isn't
it? I think so. I really think that, you know, the research that you're doing in particular, but the research by young people in all institutions in relation to making our lives better or discovering things that we need to discover so that we can make quality of life decisions better is something that needs more emphasis and a lot more media and a lot more books or papers, journals being published than maybe is spent on social media.
Yeah, but I think to your credit, you're really working hard at it. And so when you finish, I hope everything that you want comes your way, and keep up the great work you're doing.
Thank you.
It's lovely to have you here in the studio.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Bea. Thank you.
And thank you.
And thank you.
I've just got one more thing, if that's all right.
Oh, see, now, once you let the
once you open the door, they're in.
I forgot to mention, we've got our Anzac commemorative cocktail evening coming up for veterans.
Okay.
That is Saturday, April 27th.
Okay.
So that's with one of our charitable affiliate brands, The Road Home, who supports veterans and emergency service personnel.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, so people can buy their tickets at Eventbrite.
Okay. So all the information really is on the website.
Yep, theroadhome.com.au.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you, lovely ladies.
Thank you very
for
much
coming in.
For coming in.
It's been a pleasure to have you on board. And I look forward to returning next month where we get some more professional people in as part of our Hospital Research Foundation segment. It's always great to have you on board. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.